You ready?
I'm ready whenever you are.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back, the Beer Bottle QBs, and it's finally official. The Big Ten pays zero defense.
I know, Blake. I believe 62 points in one game is not playing any defense.
No, it's not. For the best defense in the nation, quotes, to give up 62 points, that was embarrassing for Michigan. We were all rooting for them, and Ohio State kicked their ass at home. Is what happened. And threw chaos into the entire college football playoff world. Absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, hey, we're here. And we're here to stay. So it was an exciting week of college football last week. Siege, what was your favorite part? Let's get started with you.
Ooh, I did really, really enjoy the LSU-A&M game. I thought that game was fantastic. 7 overtime. Stayed up for them, very good, was rooting for LSU, but the Aggies somehow pulled it out, got a lot of help from the refs, but I digress. But no, that was a really, really fun game.
Absolutely electric game, highest scoring game in college football history, and guess what? The SEC doesn't play defense either. Apparently no one plays defense these days.
No
one plays defense these days.
Nobody plays any defense at all.
Yeah, I just love it that like all these Big 12 offenses are finally making it to other conferences, and people are like, oh my gosh, this is what real offense is like. Wow.
Wow. They throw the ball farther than 5 yards? They throw the ball 30 times? That can't happen at Wisconsin. We have to run the ball 48 times and only throw it 11 times on obviously passing downs on third and longs only. That's all we do, Blake.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's absolutely nuts. You gotta love it, though. It's finally, this is offensive football. This is what we've been talking about for years. And it was a hell of a week. I have to say, it is very unfortunate. Two things. We had two RIPs this week. RIP to Mackenzie Milton's leg. That is a very unfortunate injury. It was absolutely disgusting to see. It's in like an L. And that hurts UCF. Even though they came in and dominated with their backup quarterback, not having their superstar down the stretch in the conference championship game will be an issue, but we'll get to that later in the podcast. My other RIP of the week is Washington State being able to play in the snow. Just absolutely crazy.
Oh.
It looked like we were above the wall in Game of Thrones fighting off wildlings. Washington was the wildlings. Washington State was the nice watch. And they just got overrun, you know? The Night King came in and overran them.
They got beat in every aspect of the game. I was so sad. I was pulling for Leach so hard. And it was hard to watch. I mean, Washington State just looked like garbage out there. And you would think they would be used to playing in the snow because they live in Pullman, Washington.
I don't think Mike Leach and any of his teams are ever prepared to play in the snow. I don't care if it snows there 20 times a year. I am never going to bet on a Mike Leach team in the snow. If we had known the weather before we would have might have picked the game differently, but it's unfortunate that had to happen because I have no doubt Washington State would have beat Washington if it weren't for that massive snow. Because if you watch the game, I mean, Washington State was turning over the ball like crazy. It was absolute hysterics. That's just not their game. They're quick throw. They don't have much of a running game. It's not their game. They lost. Sayonara to their playoffs chances. And that's a rough one. You gotta say, CJ, that's a rough one. It hurts the heart. But, you know, we still have UCF undefeated, and we can still pull for those bad boys.
Yes, we do. But RIP to the Pac-12 playoff chances.
absolutely out the window. They were barely creeping on the edge with Washington State, but it's good. Pac-12 didn't deserve to be in it anyways. We got to move to another game now, Siege, and that's Oklahoma at West Virginia. Man, was this another Big 12 shootout.
Oh, my goodness. Classic. Just an absolute classic game. I mean, that's what you get when you expect West Virginia versus OU. You expect a lot of points, and it to come right down to the end. It was a hell of a game. We were texting during it, and we were just in awe. Hell of a game.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was literally, it was like, it was how we called it. Whoever has the ball last wins. That's what it felt like the whole game. It was literally just a offensive absolute shootout. What you love to see in the Big 12. Oklahoma still can't play defense. West Virginia couldn't play defense either. But Oklahoma came up with the big plays, and Kyler Murray is just too good, Siege. Just too good.
He's so good.
Absolutely.
He's so good, Blake. I at the beginning of the year, I'll say I didn't think would be this good. I honestly didn't think he would be in the Heisman running.
Yeah.
But, man, I was wrong. He is an elite athlete and very damn good football player. I mean, he just was straight up slinging it. And he had over 100 yards rushing. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely crazy one in West Virginia. We knew it was going to be that way. We called it close game. And now we have a Big 12 rematch. Red Rivalry shootout in the Big 12 championship that will be electric to talk about a little bit later. Let's also talk about how USC did almost beat Notre Dame. So I didn't quit on that one, Siege. And, you know, it came in there, and they looked good for a little while, and they ended up covering. So if you took my bet on that, you ended up working out well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, USC came in fired up last game of the year, not really playing for anything. And they gave Notre Dame a run for their money. Notre Dame didn't look amazing.
No.
They didn't look like they had played the past couple weeks because the past few weeks they were kicking everyone's ass.
Yep.
This game, not so much. They were in another basic dogfight, turned the ball over a couple times. Not the Notre Dame we've been used to, but no, they're in. They punched their ticket. Like, what can we say now? They punched their ticket. The Irish are in.
I would vote them out.
Smiling down from heaven with Notre Dame's in the playoff.
No, Jesus doesn't like the Irish. I can tell you that much. He likes the Frogs, Siege. Texas Christian University, don't forever forget it. All right, I hate that. I hate that the Irish are going to be in automatically. UCF is a better football team, but that's beside the point. Speaking of dominating and being dominant, let's talk Alabama-Auburn, because the Iron Bowl was not a game. We kind of suspected this, though.
Yeah, we called it on here. Not a game at all. Tua didn't have to play in the fourth quarter again. Jalen Hurts came in, first pass, touchdown.
Yeah, you know it's bad when Jalen Hurts is throwing touchdowns on you. That's a rough look. Auburn sucks, yeah. And Gus Malzahn may be on our little coach's hot seat later in our coach's hot seat section, one of our favorite beer bottle QBs things.
We're definitely
going to
talk about that.
We definitely are. All right, Siege, I think it's time to get into something a little bit different now. We talked about last week. We've talked about all the games. It's an exciting week of football. Now let's get to the most important college football playoff rankings. Yes, it's the second to last week, and oh man, did they botch it again.
Oh, it's bad. The top four are decent, but after you get through number six, oh my God, Blake.
It's really rough. It's really rough to see like these biases just like work themselves into this. It's so Big Ten and SEC biased, it's not even funny. It's like, is it a panel of six SEC coaches and six Big Ten coaches? Because that's honestly what it feels like. Honestly what it feels like. And honestly, there's no one. I think that one of the reasons is it's too old. It's too old of a committee. I don't think there's anyone under 40 on there. There's no youth. There's no one that likes the spread offense. There's no pass-heavy lovers on there. There's just no millennials. Like,
not at all.
Not at all. A lot of people are saying that millennials are the worst in this country. I think millennials are the best, but that's beside the point. Baby boomers are...
But also, the playoff committee, when they were all watching football or coaching it or being involved in the day-to-day activities, everybody on the college football playoff rankings,
yeah,
they didn't throw the football.
No.
They threw the football maybe 10 times a game, if that. the game has completely changed, and they rank these.
Yep.
It's just ridiculous that they're ranking these. Oh, they play in the SEC. Well, they're obviously better than this team. It's like, no, that's not how it works.
No, not at all. It's crazy. It's crazy that Michigan just got manhandled by Ohio State, and they're still above UCF. Like, that in itself is nuts to me. Undefeated
Thank
UCF,
God.
Michigan got whopped and didn't play a lick of defense, looked absolutely terrible, and you're going to tell me they're still better than UCF, the team that's won 24 straight football games?
No, I'm not going to tell you. They are. They'll tell you that. That's what they want you to believe. They want you to believe that if you're not in a Power 5 conference and you're not a blue-chip program, you have no shot at the playoff. And that's what they've proven. They've proven to everybody that every single year, there's about 8 teams that could possibly make it in the college football playoff because they're blue chips. And that's all they want. They don't want your UCFs. They don't want a Washington State. They don't want, you know, TCU, Syracuse, Boise State. They don't want that. And they're actively showing us that they will vote based on that as a criteria point.
Yeah, and it's absolutely crazy. It's like it's literally like they're not watching the game, and they're doing what I did as a kid when I picked the NCAA bracket, and I just picked the team I knew. I picked the favored, the team I knew. Oh, Florida, big school. They must be able to beat Vanderbilt, even though if Vanderbilt's a way better team, better at basketball, and they're the 5 seed and Florida's the 12. I'll just go, oh, I like Florida, so I'd pick them. And that's what it really seems to be what the College Football Playoff Committee is literally doing with their rankings. Like, it's absolute absurdity to think that Florida is the 9th best team in the nation. Absolute
that's
absurdity.
Insane.
Yeah, they beat Florida State. Whoop-de-doo. Florida State's terrible. LSU lost a game, and then, I mean, they're still a top 10 team. Like, give me a break. Absolutely give me a break.
They got beat by an unranked team on the road, or a ranked team, but on the road, like, ugh, I don't get it. They should drop farther than that. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. And so I want to bring in our favorite rankings that we've been talking about, we're continually talking about. It's the Coley Matrix. We're bringing it in. You know who the number 6 team in the nation is in the Coley Matrix?
No.
It's those UCF Golden Space Knights coming in at 6 ahead of Ohio State, how it should be.
Love it. Love it.
Absolutely how it should be. Another little tidbit from this little beautiful work of art I like to call the Coley Matrix. Army, 22 in the nation. Very fair ranking. They're a good football team. Still only have 2 losses. Boise State, number 14 team in the nation after a huge win over Utah State. And they get Fresno State again next week. Fresno State, 23, also a very good ranking. Cincinnati, 21. Like, this Coley Matrix, the math is literally proving our points. This is the unbiased ranking. This is what the ranking should be. It's literally proving our point. So everyone listening to this podcast, you need to go check it out. You need to go look and see. He breaks it down. You can click on the teams. You can see why they're ranked, where they're ranked. Whereas the College Football Playoff Committee, it's just willy-nilly ranking. You have no criteria. We don't know what they use to judge. They clearly just use however much money your school is making, because that's what the rankings print out like every single week. Oh, man. It's getting me. It gets my blood boiling, Siege.
Yeah, me too. It's just, at this point, it's so obvious they're biased. It's so obvious. It's unbelievable.
Bring back the BCS. Bring back the BCS.
How is UCF behind Michigan? First off, that one ranking just baffles me.
Oh, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. Like, you're going to tell me that the team that just got 62 hung on them and lost to Ohio State by 20 points is really better than the team that's won 24 straight games? Oh, they haven't played anyone. I don't care. They've won 24 straight games. They came in, their star player went out, backup quarterback came in, and they still won by 20. Like, it's ridiculous. UCF, if you don't believe after watching that game that UCF is a legitimate contender, you, sir, are an idiot. And you don't deserve to be a college football fan because you know nothing about it.
Blake,
nothing.
I have a question for you.
Let's hear it.
So, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ohio State all lose. Is Michigan going to go into the playoff?
I mean, by these rankings, it seems like it. What we all know that the playoff committee is known to flip on the last week and just overturn everything that happened the week before. So it really doesn't matter what these rankings say right now, because they could be completely different. We saw it in their first ever ranking. So it's, I mean, we'll see if conference championships come into play. They say conference champions are a huge, huge part of the component of this. We will see, because there could be some tests. I mean, if Georgia beats Alabama, Oklahoma wins, Ohio State wins, UCF wins, then you have a situation where Alabama's one-loss team, everyone thinks they're great, but they didn't win a conference championship. So how can you put them in the – if you say conference championships are a huge piece of this and like a big part of it, how can you put Bama in?
Yeah, you can't. You have to put Georgia in because they're the conference champion.
Exactly, but they probably won't, because last year – this is what happened to Ohio State last year, if I'm remembering correctly.
No, you are.
They won their conference championship. So it's we just really don't know what they value, which makes it impossible. At least at the BCS, you knew that the computer was doing some kind of ranking, and then it was the AP poll. But, you know, what can we do, Siege? What can we do?
We can't do anything except,
you know what,
keep telling them to reform it and put some actual people that know about modern-day football on there.
Absolutely. You know, we're going to keep doing this podcast until we get on the College Football Playoff Committee ourselves. That's our goal.
Yeah.
You ask us, people ask us what our goal is on this podcast.
Money.
It's not entertainment. It's not money. It's to get on the College Football Playoff Committee, and we're going to make it there someday.
Yes, we will be. We'll
yes.
be co-chairmans.
Co-chairmans of the College Football Playoff Committee. I love the sound of that. All right, Siege, it's time to roll on over to one of our favorite little segments, a little something called When the Boiling, the Water Starts Boiling Under the Seat. What's that called? What's that called?
Ooh, it's not a lukewarm.
It can't be that.
It's not cold.
No, it's not cold. But we're getting closer. It's the hot seat. Oh, it's the hot seat.
I'm getting a little hot over here.
I'm getting hot just talking about it. So we're talking about the hot seat. This has been one of the best weeks yet for Coach's hot seat, because we had firings. We've had hirings already. Where do we want to start? Les Miles? Did we cover that last week? Did that news break last week?
I called Les Miles.
You called Les Miles.
Last week.
You did call that. I didn't believe it. I thought they were going to go after his.
It.
I thought they were going to go a different way, but the grass chewer is back in college football, and he's landing in Lawrence, Kansas. So, first thing I want you to tell me, is this a good hire by them? Second thing, is he going to be successful, Siege?
Not a good hire, and he is not going to be successful.
Not a good hire. Wow,
Sam. He got fired from LSU because his offense was in the 1980s. Do you really think he's going to come into the Big 12 with all of this offensive power and be able to compete with the athletes at Lawrence, Kansas? The only way he was able to compete at LSU is because he had like an unbelievable defense every year. Do you think he's going to be able to have that defense in Lawrence, Kansas?
You have to have
an offense that can do some crazy things, and that's the only way to win in Lawrence, Kansas.
So I can only hope. I heard some stories about Les Miles from a buddy I worked with at TCU. Shout out Hudson Fuller. And he said that the reason LSU's offense was so out of date is because Les Miles just didn't watch any other football teams besides LSU. So he just watched so much LSU film, he literally just didn't even like comprehend other offenses, because all he did was watch his own offense. So I hope in the couple years since he's been fired at LSU that he's watched some other offenses. I feel like he's been watching college football. I don't think he's been watching old LSU tape. Maybe he's been running the national championship tape back.
Like, he's probably been watching old LSU tape.
I mean, if he has, then the Kansas is royally screwed, and there is nothing that they can do except for go even further down the wormhole. But I would hope he brings in a spread guy.
It'll generate, so this is what it'll do. It'll generate some good recruiting in the first 2 years.
Yeah.
Because Les Miles is a name, an established name, won a national title. It'll jump start the recruiting in the first 2 years at least. And if there's no results by then, it's going to go downhill very quickly.
That's pretty accurate, I think. It depends on who he brings on as his coordinators. If he brings in a spread coordinator and a top-notch defensive guy, I think he can compete at Kansas, because it seems like Kansas State is done for and kaput, and that Bill Snyder might be finally too old to coach football.
Yeah, it's sad, but he might be too old.
And there's always one team that's good in Kansas. If you look back when Kansas was good in the big fat boy Mangino days, that's because old Billy Snyder had retired. So if Bill Snyder retires again, Kansas State pretty much donezo, and the boys at Kansas can be good again. That's just how it works in the state of Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of JUCO talent
there.
That's
going to happen, but this is what I think. Les Miles is going to hire Kingsbury to be offensive coordinator.
All right, well, that brings us to our next point. So Kingsbury is being tossed around for a lot of jobs right now. So
I heard NFL rumbling.
So that's what my, when he got fired, my first thought is NFL OC, because that's a natural fit for him. It's not a step down to being a college OC, and he would do great as an NFL OC, just plain and simple. He would be absolutely electric. Kind of like what's happened in Chicago with Helfrich. Awesome OC, knows what he's doing. Kingsbury would be an absolute stud as an offensive coordinator in the league. The second thing, though, he's being tossed around for almost every OC job open. Kansas, he's being tossed around to go with Mack Brown to North Carolina, which would be a great fit for him. I'm sure him and Mack Brown have a great working relationship, talked a bunch. He's also being talked about as Alabama's next offensive coordinator. They haven't even fired their offensive coordinator. Their offensive coordinator hasn't taken another job yet, but everyone just assumes Bama's coordinators are going to leave and go take better jobs after every single year, which is kind of fair. That's kind of what happens. But if Kingsbury goes to Bama, it's over. It's done. It's college football. I won't even watch next year. I'm lying. But you might as well not watch, because the evil empire will have won. Like,
everybody's playing for second place if Kingsbury goes to Alabama.
That would be like Han Solo deciding to team up with Darth Vader instead of Luke Skywalker, because it's just easier for him. Like, he's like, oh, what? We can just dominate the universe. Let's do that.
Yeah, that's chill.
Yeah,
so I have the best quarterback in college and the best athletes I've ever been around, and I'm one of the best offensive coordinators ever. Okay, yeah, I think we're probably going to win the national title.
Yeah, I mean, so that could be crazy.
Play in the third quarter.
It's very true. If Tua sticks around, which I think he has to, then that'll be absolutely, it'll just be disgustingly unfair. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about Kingsbury and why he got fired from Tech. So, we all knew this was coming, kind of. He could never coach defense. His defensive coordinator stunk. We've been talking about it for years.
Yep.
Kingsbury could have saved his job if, instead of firing all his buddies after David Gibbs' first year, which he did, he fired Mike Smith, Trey Haverty, all the defensive coaches that apparently Gibbs didn't like and wanted to bring in his own guys. If he had fired Gibbs instead, because anyone who watched that film knew that Gibbs couldn't coach defense worth a lick, because he was just doing stupid stuff. Literally, people were just making fun of him in the film room because he just would run bailout cover three to try to stop people, and it was absolutely absurd. But if he had fired Gibbs instead of all his guys, he may have been able to keep his job longer if he brought in a different defensive coordinator. So I think his arrogance and firing his buddies finally bit him in the ass. But how about Texas Tech football on Twitter tweeting out, "Thank you, Cliff Kingsbury, for leaving this university better than you found it twice. You're forever a Red Raider." Right after he got fired. I don't know if this is the most savage dig in the world, or if they're just absolutely clueless. Because I would be pissed if someone said this to me after I just lost my fucking job at the school.
Yeah, I would not be happy. I know they're trying to save face since he's extremely well-liked in Lubbock. But you can't do that. You just fired the guy. He clearly didn't leave it better than when he got there. You just fired him.
Yeah, you just let him go. You cut the man from his job. You said you can no longer work at this university.
Literally his dream job.
Yeah, it's his alma mater. It's just like, that's just like, it shows Texas Tech always finds a way to shoot themselves in the foot. Every single time. Over and over again.
Honestly, that's why I think Kingsbury might take the Kansas job, because he might want to stay in the Big 12 and just go on like a revenge tour.
He might. I mean, Kansas has been a death trap, but that could be something if he's the OC at Kansas. But let's keep talking about Tech. The name that keeps popping up, is Brent Venables to taking the tech job. And I don't know why in the world Brent Venables would ever take this job.
Oh, he's a defensive guy, and Tech can't recruit any players to play defense.
It's not even that, though. It's you're the defensive coordinator at Kansas or at Clemson. He's been offered jobs before. He's been at Clemson for quite a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to think
he's the highest paid assistant.
Yeah, he's the highest paid assistant. He's like Kirby Smart was at Alabama. You got to feel like he's waiting for a big, big job to come his way and snag him. Texas Tech is not that big of a job. He'll make equivalent money to what he's making now, maybe a little bit more. But it's almost like, why would he ever leave the beautiful Clemson campus and his cushy defensive coordinator job with the best athletes in the nation to go to Lubbock, Texas to be the head coach at a second-tier Big 12 program?
I honestly have no idea, because he's going to get – I think they offered him the Tennessee job. Like, the Tennessee job is a way better opportunity than Tech. And if he's not going to take that, he's waiting for a powerhouse to come get it. No, he doesn't want to go to a middle-tier team and try to build something.
Yeah.
That's not his style.
Absolutely. And honestly, for Texas Tech, there's a couple obvious choices if you want to stay on the like offensive guy route. I mean, Neil Brown at Troy. Tricked me up there.
Yep.
Google got me for a second. Neil Brown is the obvious choice, Tech guy, offensive. If you can win at Troy, you can win anywhere. It's one of those schools. Another one,
yep.
Nick Rolovich, the Hawaii head coach, offensive guy. Very talented, has turned around Hawaii's program, who hasn't been good since essentially the June Jones days. The other one on my list that really stands out for that job is the Seth Luttrell at North Texas. Turning around North Texas is another tough job. He's been there for 2 years now, and he's got them rolling, humming this year. He's another obvious choice.
I like North Texas. I do like that hire. He's already plugged in the state of Texas.
Yep.
And it's very, very important, at least in Texas recruiting, to have a good base with high school coaches.
Yep.
And he already has that base set, you know.
Yep.
And then he can raise it another level once he gets the Texas Tech name behind him.
Yep.
I think that way he's already got a leg up on any out-of-state guy you're going to hire.
Yep.
And at Texas Tech, basically, you have to recruit Texas. That's basically all you can recruit, because not too many kids are going to come from out of state to live in Lubbock, Texas to play football.
True. That's very true. And so these are kind of the young guns I'm talking about. If you want to talk about more established candidates that I would think are probably in the ring for this, Dino Babers is an obvious choice. He has served on the Texas Tech staff. He's been a Texas high school football coach. He's a guy that's a natural fit as well. And then I'm just going to throw him in for every big job that comes available. Lane Kiffin, why not? It's a step up from FAU. I'd love to see Lane Kiffin in the Big 12.
Ooh, Lane Kiffin at Tech would be
awesome.
Interesting. That would be interesting.
Awesome.
They would love him.
Texas Tech is a place where you're allowed to hook up with the students as a football coach, from what I've heard.
He definitely did it.
He probably did it. I've heard some Dana stories that I don't know if they're true. They're not confirmed, but I've heard some Dana Holgerson stories. Apparently, he had an apartment down in downtown Lubbock that he would stay at. I don't know. A lot of crazy stories about that place. But Lane Kiffin would be the essential Tech hire, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Joey Freshwater would be at Chimmy's every Wednesday night. And he'd just be crushing life.
Oh, my God. Joey Freshwater would just clean up in that place.
Absolutely.
But, if they hired Kiffin, they would. That's a match made in heaven. They need each other. He needs to be in Lubbock.
They do need each other.
Recruiting would take a huge spike if they hired Lane.
Lane's a charismatic guy, you know? Charismatic guy. So that would be pretty awesome. All right, let's move on. Clay Helton still has not been fired. If he beat Notre Dame, I think he might have saved his job. But I think that announcement is coming soon.
No, he's not.
He's not.
They said that he's not going.
Yeah, but teams say that all the time.
Yeah, but they fired their D coordinator.
Oh, whoop-de-doo. They fired their defensive coordinator. That's so lame.
Breaking news, they just fired T. Martin.
Oh, they fired T. Martin? Dude, yeah, that's
team,
harsh.
They fired their offense and defensive coordinator.
Oh, Clay Helton's such a scumbag.
Their D-backs coach, who all these, I'm looking at it right now, all these ex-USC D-backs are like all pissed because they fired their,
dude,
they
that's,
fired the quarterback coach too.
That's such a cop-out. Such a cop-out by Clay Helton and USC.
They fired their D-coordinator, defensive backs coach, offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach.
Oh my gosh, what a loser. I hate it when coaches do that, when they just fire their staff and blame it on them just so they can get one more freaking year. Absolute loser move. Honestly, this means USC's going to suck next year. Unless they get major hires, they're going to suck. I'm rooting for them to suck.
They essentially fired their whole staff because do you think the underlying, like, do you think that most of the, like, GAs are going to probably try to latch onto those coaches and go somewhere else and move up?
Yeah, depending on where they go, but that's just, like, that's an absolute trash thing to do. I'm rooting against Clay Helton. Screw USC. Bunch of losers. All right, let's get to Mack Brown. This is the wildest hire I'd seen so far.
out of left field
for sure. What do we think? I mean, do we think they're going to be good?
I mean, I feel like, in my honest opinion, when I first heard this, I thought UNC is hiring Mack Brown to do the same thing that ASU hired Herm Edwards to do. He's going to be the CEO and face, and his coordinators and position coaches are going to run the team.
Yeah, he's always kind of been a CEO head coach, though. Like, that's just what he does. That's what he's always really done. But it's kind of crazy that, like, it seems like it came out of nowhere, because Hermie also came out of nowhere last year. He's going to have really good coordinators. But it just seemed a little crazy. It's out of nowhere. But, I mean, it depends on who he brings in. It was just so out of left field.
I don't know, but I like it. UNC needed to do something. They were stuck in a hole, in a rut for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, they've had...
They haven't been good in a very long time. They haven't had a good football team in years.
Yeah, I mean, you can argue that they haven't had a really good team since Mack Brown was the coach there. But, like, you can make that argument.
Yeah,
I mean,
you can. And that was, like, in the early 90s.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. It was a really long time ago. All right. Well, I think that's enough Mack talk. Let's go into the conference championship games. We're halfway through the podcast. We have a huge week of conference championship games coming up. A lot of fun. One of the most exciting conference championship weeks we've had in a while, I feel like. We have a rematch of Georgia, of the national championship game last year, Georgia-Alabama. We have a Texas OU Red Rival shootout for the Big 12 championship, which is a first, and it's awesome. We have Utah versus Washington's okay. Clemson versus Pittsburgh's okay. UCF Memphis is going to be a great game. Real thriller earlier in the year. Ohio State Northwestern, I think, is going to be a sneaky, sneaky good game. It's just going to be a lot of fun. We have a Fresno Boise rematch as well. I think we have to start with probably the most talked about game of the week, the most smoke that's been blown already. We've got to talk Texas OU. It's going to be in Dallas in Jerry World. Kyler Murray and Sam Ellinger are already trading barbs. Kyler said, when asked, does he respect Sam Ellinger, he says, I have no comment on that. Ellinger responds with, okay, cool, hook him on Twitter. So already starting off hot. Siege, give me your thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts. I'm writing them down today when thinking about the podcast. I have a lot of thoughts about this one.
This is going to be the best game. This is going to be the game of the week. This is going to be the closest. This is going to be a classic Big 12 shootout again, like their first one was. Oh, man, I'm very, very excited for this. And it's at 11 a.m. Get to get drunk a little bit early. Yeah. Never, don't hate that.
Bright and early. It's bright and early.
So, I mean, looking it down, it's all it's going to come down to is Ellinger versus Murray. I mean, whoever can score the most points is going to win this game. We've seen both these teams play already. It's offense, offense, offense. And that's all it's going to be. And it's going to be another slugfest.
Yeah, also another interesting tidbit is Lincoln Riley is not happy about the fact that David Beatty has come down to Texas to help them with their offensive strategy. It's a little bit of a weird move. It doesn't happen. Like Tom Herman says, this thing that happened. No, rival interconference coaches, after they get fired, don't go to a school that they just lost to. That doesn't happen. That's not something that happens anywhere ever. So that's bullshit by Tom Herman. The second part of this, though, Lincoln Riley shouldn't be mad because David Beatty sucks at X's and O's, as we can clearly see by his coaching over the last five years.
Why would you bring in the worst teams? Yeah, you're really shitty at coaching. Will you come help us out?
Yeah, it's like their thought process is, oh, Kansas scored 40 on OU. Yeah, everyone scored 40 on OU this year. I don't think you're going to get that much of an advantage. Yeah, but so I have a couple thoughts about this one. Texas is showing that Tom Herman cockiness, that Sam Ellinger cockiness, that confidence that has helped them all year and really made them a contender and is what gave them the edge in the first game. But I think it's actually going to hurt them in this game, and I'll tell you why. Because OU has the chip on their shoulder. Texas needs to be humble. They need to be quiet. They need to be act like they've been there before, because they have. They beat OU earlier this year. The fact that they're already this hyped and are trading barbs and are slinging mud and have that confidence vibe that they've had all year, I think it's going to hurt them quite a bit in this game, Siege. It's just Kyler Murray, once he figured out Texas' defense in the fourth quarter, could not be stopped. And I expect that to continue into this week. And we're talking about Sam Ellinger, a guy. He tweets, no okay, cool, hook him at Kyler Murray. He just came off a game where he threw, was it two or three interceptions? Either way, he did not.
Two picks.
He threw two picks.
150 yards, two picks.
Yep, 16 for 28, 154 yards, two TDs, two picks, had another running TD. A pretty good game in the book, but how he's been playing this season, this has been his worst game since Maryland, and you don't want to have that happening to you in your last game against your arguably your worst opponent of the year. Second worst, you might consider Tulsa. So I don't think that Ellinger's at the top of his game. He's a little bit hurt. He's been a little bit banged up. And so, you know, Siege, I don't think this one's going to be as close as people think. I think people think it's going to be a barn burner. It'll be a little bit of a barn burner, but you know what? If we look head-to-head, quarterback versus quarterback, OU has the advantage in the quarterback department. Defense versus defense. Texas has the advantage in the defense department. Chip on their shoulder, advantage goes to OU. So it's going to come down to a coaching match. Who's going to be the better coach in this game? That's what it's going to come down to. And 10 out of 10 times, Lincoln Riley is a more mature coach, and he's a better football coach right now than Tom Herman is. And that's why OU is going to win by two or three touchdowns today.
I love it. I like that's a ball. Two or three touchdowns.
Two or three touchdowns.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's a lot of points you're giving up. It's a lot of points.
I'm telling you, the big, huge confidence thing, which has carried Texas all season, it's been great. I can't argue with it. It helped them beat the crap out of us. It helped them beat OU. It helped them beat Texas Tech at the end of the year. Almost beat West Virginia. That is great. And all, and it helps them upset. When you're the favorite, when you've won the game already, that doesn't help you one single bit. And you know what? It hurts you because you're going to be overconfident and you're not going to prepare like you did for the first one. And so that's why I think OU is going to out-prepare them, they're going to out-coach them, and they're going to outplay them this Saturday in Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
The big thing that I think is Ellinger does what Ellinger, you know, can do, and he does it well. He's a good quarterback.
He's a good quarterback.
Kyler Murray is an elite level athlete.
Yes.
And he's seen this defense before.
Yep.
He's figured out the weakness already.
Yep.
And he's going to just exploit it in this next game. And I'm saying Kyler Murray has over 350 yards passing, three touchdowns through the air, and two on the ground.
I think that's a pretty good. I think it's going to be closer to six or seven for Kyler Murray. He's going to be the entire offense, and he's going to have himself a game. Because he's a little bit pissed off, and I'm not sure we've seen Kyler Murray play pissed off this year.
No, we haven't. He was very pissed after that Texas game. You know what they did? They went out and won every single game remaining.
They did.
Played unbelievable.
They did. What they're going to have to overcome is their defense stinking. But I'm telling you right now, if Ellinger throws two picks again, then it's game over. It's going to be easy pickings for OU. Because if Ellinger's not at the top of the game, it's donezo for Texas.
Done.
All right, Siege. We made our picks for that one. It's time to move on for another one. Memphis versus UCF.
Ooh, like this game.
UCF playing with the backup quarterback. They had a 3-touchdown comeback earlier this year. I mean, this one's a little bit tricky. It's hard to pick this one. It's hard to go against the Knights, but they're playing with the backup quarterback.
It's hard to gauge what UCF is without Mackenzie Milton. I mean, Mackenzie Milton was their best player.
He was
unbelievable talent. Sucks he got hurt. But now you don't know. UCF is unknown. It also could help them because they don't have Memphis doesn't have any film on this guy. So they don't know what he likes to do. They don't know his tendencies.
Yep.
They don't know how to call the defensive game to an extent. But I do think UCF is a better overall football team than Memphis is. So I do think it's going to be a lot closer than people think, but UCF pulls it off by 10 with a late touchdown.
I like that pick. You know what, Siege? I'm sticking on the blowout wagon. I don't think it's going to be close. I was just baiting people in with that first take, UCF. We know UCF's is going to win this game. We know they're going to go out and beat Memphis. I don't care if they have to play with their backup quarterback. Did you see what they did to USF in a rivalry game last week? Backup quarterback and all, and they absolutely murked them. They can run the football. This backup quarterback looks more mobile than Mackenzie Milton. Could this be a positive for him? Doesn't matter. They win big, and we're moving on to our next game. This is a game we don't really care about, Utah versus Washington. You can just go with your quick pick, and I'll go with my quick pick because I don't really want to talk about this one. It hurts too much.
I'll go Utah just because.
Nice. I'm going Washington just because they beat our boys. Rest
you
in peace.
Put $10 on it?
Yeah, let's. Well, I'm in New Jersey, technically, so we can gamble on this.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not in New Jersey. Give me a break. You still can't legally gamble in the state of Texas and the state of New York.
That's true. We can't legally gamble. So,
so we'll make a gentleman's agreement that the loser of this quote unquote bet may Venmo the other $10. On the final entry of the game. May or may not, we're not betting. Right. We don't do that. We're not betting.
Hey,
but
is there ever a podcast that bets on the least talked about game?
That's right. We're the only one. We continue to be, week after week, we just find something that no one else is doing. It just naturally comes to us. We're just great podcast hosts.
We're setting records.
We're probably the two best podcast hosts in the nation. I don't want to tweet our own horn, but it's just facts only over here. All right, let's get to the rematch of the national championship game. Alabama, Georgia. Alabama looks unstoppable. Georgia looking for revenge. What do we think, Siege?
I don't even know what to think because Alabama looks so good.
Yeah.
It's a home game for Georgia.
Yeah.
It's in Atlanta, which is a home game for Georgia.
It's pretty close to Bama, too. It is a kind of home game. It's going to be like one of those 60-40 spreads, you know?
I think it's going to be more like 65-35.
Okay. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of Bama people there. It's just Bama
there
people.
There will be a decent amount, but do you think Bama fans are going to save that for the playoff?
That's true. This is a good point. They may not show up at all. You're making a good point.
In Georgia, not guaranteed. This is their big game. They win this
game.
That's
true.
It's in their home state.
Yeah.
They win this game. They're in the playoff. I think more people are going to go to this game than they will and wait for the playoff. But Alabama thinks they're so good that they're going to wait for the game. So I think it's going to be 65-35. I've been to Atlanta multiple times.
Yep.
My wife's parents live out there.
Yep.
And I can 100% confirm there is a shitload of Georgia fans in Atlanta.
Yeah, I certainly
absolute
believe that.
Shitload.
I believe that. And you know, Billy Joe, you're right. Billy Joe from Birmingham isn't going to be able to afford all these tickets, you know? He's living on that fixed income, saving up for this Alabama game at the end of the year. I think you're right, Siege. You proved me wrong. Go Dogs. Go Dogs. It's going to be a packed house for them Bulldogs.
Billy Joe, like you were talking about, he can barely afford his Alabama shirt from Walmart.
That's true. Billy Joe's not the fan base at Alabama. Doesn't just scream rags to riches story. Just screams rags. But that's here, not there. All right, Siege. Alabama's 13.5-point favorites in a conference championship game. It seems a little crazy that that's a spread in a conference championship game, but Bama hasn't been that good. Siege, let me. Who do you think's going to win?
I mean, I agree with the spread. It's crazy to see on paper to like look at it and be like,
ooh,
wow, 13.5.
Yeah.
That is a shitload of points. But Alabama has beaten everybody that they're supposed to beat, and any team that has supposed to, you know, like LSU, they're supposed to give them a run for their money, not blew the doors off LSU.
That's true.
It's honestly to the point that I consciously cannot pick against Alabama because they've looked so good. I do really like Georgia, but hey, I'm going to pick Bama, Blake. I'm going to pick because they're not going to lose. I'm going to pick them because they're going to win. That's why I picked them.
that's a fair assessment.
You know, in the back of your mind, you're like, he's probably right. That's what you're thinking right now.
I mean, it's a completely...
You're going to make some argument that Georgia's a good team, and they got, you know, their talent is right there with Alabama. Just don't do it because Alabama's going to win. Don't get your hopes up.
I mean, you're right. It's a fair assessment. Alabama is really good. Georgia may be the best team they've faced all year, but LSU did beat Georgia by 20. It's tough to pick against Alabama, and I really want to do it. Oh, man. You're driving me into a corner, Siege. And you know what? I like it. I like being driven into a corner. And you know what? What I'm going to do? I am going to come up with that argument on why Georgia's going to win this football game. And that's one. It's one reason and one reason only. It's not one reason. I'm kidding. It's two reasons. Reason number one, Jake Fromm is a dude. He is the best quarterback Alabama has faced all year, and he's going to play the game of his life in his backyard. That's number one. Number two, people seem to forget that Georgia dominated Alabama the last time they played until the late end of the second half. They absolutely dominated the first half. And you know what, Siege? They're going to come in, they're going to be hot, and they're going to get revenge against Alabama this year, and they're going to win by 2 points on a last-second field goal. 2 points on a last-second field goal.
By Hot Rod.
There you go. I'm calling 2 points. I love the dogs. Give me the dogs. Go dogs.
Alabama and the spread.
There we go. Oh, man. Ooh, Alabama in the spread. Georgia, let's go dogs. All right.
We need to tweet out that video of that psychopath Georgia.
Oh, yeah. That's go dogs. So that guy's the man. All right, let's roll into Clemson versus Pittsburgh. Does Pittsburgh have the opportunity to play spoilers again? Will they do it? The last time they beat Clemson, they had a little quarterback named Nathan Peterman. People seem to forget that. He was the quarterback last time Pittsburgh beat Clemson. Do they have a chance to play spoilers today? Or not today, Saturday?
Blake, Pittsburgh is 3-0 against the number two team in the nation when they are unranked all time.
Oh, well, that's a fun fact.
Pittsburgh is currently unranked.
They are.
They're going to win.
Oh,
they're 3-0 against Pittsburgh with the shocker. Coming in hot. Clemson goes down. Trevor Lawrence, shave his head.
Wow.
Light his hair on fire. Give me Pitt, baby. Let's go.
Holy crap. CJ, that may be the craziest upset pick we have heard in the history of this podcast.
Oh, yeah, I'm picking it.
Clemson has dominated everybody this year. Pittsburgh lost to UCF by 25 points. And
yeah, I know.
We like making arguments for UCF. I don't think they're better than Clemson. Wow, is all I have to say. I cannot agree with you on this. I cannot agree with you one bit.
I didn't think you would.
No. Clemson is favored by 26 points, I think. And
that's my upset pick of the week.
I don't know if that's a... Put a stamp on that. Sound the alarm, Ben, because that's an upset pick of the week. Clemson's favored by 26.5 points. The only thing I had thought about this game was whether they're going to cover or not. So now that you're throwing this into the mix, you're making me think they may not cover. But you know what, Siege?
Blake, 3-0 all time against the number two team when they're unranked.
And I'm not a stats guy, but I do like that stat quite a bit. That puts it in a conundrum on it, but I'm not changing my pick. Clemson's going to win this ball game. I don't know if they're going to cover 26.5 points, but they're certainly going to win this ball game. Sunshine Trevor Lawrence is going to take it home, lead them to the playoff again. I mean, if Pittsburgh beats Clemson, do they still get into the playoffs?
No, they're out.
No, this just turned into a crazy podcast, guys. Absolutely,
like they're gone. You know, 100% they're gone.
Maybe, but maybe I don't know.
It's gonna be recency bias. Recency bias.
Recency bias is a son of a bitch. It really
is.
You
lose in the last 2 weeks and make the playoff. You can't.
There's
no way. Even if you're 12 and 0 going into the conference, you can't lose the last weekend and still make it in. You can't.
Oof. Man, that's something. All right,
Steve.
I'm going with Clemson. I'm sticking with the Tigers. I love me some Tigers. All right, let's roll into the Big Ten Championship. The conference with no defense. They don't play any defense. They stink at defense, and their offense sucks too. All right, it's Northwestern versus Ohio State. Probably the most boring Big Ten Championship matchup I've ever heard of.
How the hell is Northwestern that? They need to realign this conference. This is serious bullshit.
Dude, Northwestern is
setting
like
up Ohio State to win the Big Ten for the next like 15 years.
Northwestern is 8-1 in conference play. 8-1.
No, and they're not good. They're not good.
No, they're not very good at all.
They got blown out by Duke.
Their on-conference losses are terrible. They lost to Akron.
They lost to Akron and Duke by 14.
Yeah, lost to Duke, barely beat Rutgers, lost to Notre Dame. Like, it's wild that they're 8-1 in the Big Ten. Anyone who says the Big Ten is good, all I have to say is Northwestern went 8-1 in the Big Ten. So you tell me how good that conference is. Yeah. Like, yikes.
Northwestern, here's my pick. Northwestern loses by at least 21.
Oh, that pains me, CJ. That pains me to hear because I hate Ohio State. You know how much I hate Ohio State.
Northwestern stinks.
And you know what we talked about, Siege? Beckelmans aren't quitters.
They're not.
We're not quitters. And I don't like Ohio State. So you know what? I'm about to throw down another upset pick of the week.
Oh.
I'm going with the Northwestern Wildcats. They're going to upset Ohio State. Ohio State's not that good. They're just coming off a huge win against Michigan. This is the definition of a conference championship trap game, if I've ever seen one. They were so hyped for the Michigan game. Obviously, they played well. Urban Meyer is great at getting his team up for big games. You know what he's not great at, Siege?
What?
Well, one, he's not great at deleting text messages, that's for sure. Number two, he's not good at preparing his team. He's not good at telling the truth either. He's also not good at being a healthy individual.
Writing letters?
Yeah, a lot of things that he's not good at. But the other thing in this scenario where it matters, he's not good at prepping for teams that he's supposed to be. We have a multitude of evidence this year. We've got Purdue losing by 40 on the road, getting absolutely trounced. We have Maryland having a crazy year, almost losing in overtime. And we have Northwestern this week coming in and taking the crown in Indianapolis of the Big Ten Championship. And you know why? They're doing it for America. Because America doesn't want to see Ohio State in the playoff. America doesn't want to see Urban Meyer succeed. America wants Northwestern, those smart kids in that crappy little stadium in Chicago that they play at. We want to see them beat the big boys.
Oh, I'd love it.
And so,
nothing more.
That's why Northwestern's going to win. They're doing it for America. If you're not rooting for Northwestern, then you're not an American. I'm saying that here first.
All right. I'm rooting for Northwestern, Blake.
There we go. All right. I bet you still think Ohio State's going to win, though, which is fair.
I do.
All right. And then our last game of the week, Fresno State, Boise State rematch. They had an electric game in Boise for Fresno State's first loss of the year. So, Siege, tell me a little bit about this one. I believe that this game is played at Boise. It's at the favorite.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Which is a kind of a cool wrinkle for a conference championship game. I certainly like it. Can Fresno State pull revenge in Boise, or does Boise win again on the blue turf?
Blake. You're talking to a Boise State fan here, Blake.
Oh, I know.
So I'm rolling with the Broncos. They did it once. They can do it twice.
Woo!
It's at home.
Woo! The Broncos. Boise.
Boise. Love it.
Boise. Stay.
You know what, Siege? I'm with you. I think the Broncos, they can't be beaten at home. They haven't this year. They beat Fresno State earlier this year on the blue turf. They just beat Utah State, which was probably the best team in the was probably the best team in the Mountain West throughout the year. So I think you have to go with the Broncos. You have to. You just have to.
You have to.
Man, I love it. I love it. All right,
this is gonna be a fun week. This is gonna be a good week.
It's gonna be a great week. I'm excited as well.
I like that we get Utah Washington on Friday too. That's kind of a little cool. Kind of a game no one gives a shit about. They're like, we'll put it on Friday.
Yeah, I love it. Because it's literally such a loser championship game. It's like it means nothing. No one cares. Like,
it's at 5 o'clock on West Coast time. 5 o'clock.
Yeah, which is like just
what,
so.
What are you thinking?
It has to be that way so it can be 8 o'clock on Eastern time and people will watch it.
I know.
It's so funny. You know, it is what it is. It's going to be a fun weekend. If there's some upsets, I'm rooting for chaos. We're going to dial in. We're going to record right after the playoff show. Maybe. We might not do this. But we're going to try to record as soon after the playoff show as we can to keep our takes fresh. Maybe we'll go to the Instagram, have some takes. It's going to be a lot of smoke, a lot of fire. It's going to be awesome.
I want chaos because I just want to see how the committee will react.
Oh, yeah. I want chaos, too.
I want to see what they're going to do. When their ass is on the hot seat.
Oh, yeah.
They've got to make some decisions. I want to see what they're made of.
Oh, yeah.
I swear, it could get real, real messy, and we're going to see some bias come out.
Oh, yeah. They're going to fuck it up. You just know it. Like, if there's chaos, they're going to fuck it up. But I'm going to tell you what. You can guarantee that I'm going to tweet and Instagram the same meme I did last year. The Joker, I love chaos meme. Great meme. It's going up again if there's chaos.
Oh, yeah. There will be.
All right, Siege. I think that's a podcast, unless you have anything else.
That's a good one.
Man, we went on today. This is a long one. I apologize to Ben for the editing you're going to have to do, but it was pretty smooth. Our takes were pretty fiery as well, so I think you'll enjoy listening to it. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week for the College Football Playoff Edition.
Let's go.
Love it.